Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk Packaging, the show where we unwrap the science, secrets, and sometimes the sheer chaos of the containers that hold our world together. I'm your host, Alec. Today, we're talking about a nightmare scenario. Picture it. A customer, thrilled with their takeout order, reaches into the bag only to find your signature chicken marsala has staged a hostile takeover of their car's upholstery. The container? A cracked, defeated mess. These are the tragedies that happen when you choose the wrong plastic. Here to help us navigate the perilous world of polymers and prevent these packaging catastrophes is our special guest. He's a chemist who specializes in plastic resins, a true master of materials. Please welcome Conrad.
Thanks for having me, Alec. It's great to be here to talk about the unsung heroes of the food industry.
Unsung is right. So, Conrad, most of us just see a plastic box. We don't think about it. Why is a distinction between different types of plastics so critically important for a food business?
It's everything. A melted container isn't just a mess. It's a potential safety hazard, a guaranteed bad online review, and a customer who will never come back. On the flip side, hiding your beautiful fresh salad behind a foggy container means it just sits on the shelf. The right packaging protects your food, your brand, and your bottom line.
Okay, so it's a bigger deal than people think. Today, we're putting two heavyweights in the packaging world. In one corner, we have PET, and in the other, polypropylene, or PP. Let's start with the first contender, PET. What's its story? And please don't make me say the full name.
I'll spare you the polyethylene terephthalate. PET is the show-off. Its number one superpower is clarity. It's exceptionally transparent, almost glass-like. This is why it dominates in grocery stores for produce, bakery items, and deli salads. It makes the food look fresh and appealing.
So it's all about visual appeal, driving those impulse buys. We see it, we want it.
Exactly. But it's not just a pretty face. It has a very effective moisture barrier, which keeps things fresh and crisp. Plus, it's lightweight, but surprisingly rigid and strong, which is perfect for grab-and-go application.
Okay, clear, strong, and keeps food fresh. What else?
It handles the cold exceptionally well. It's perfectly stable in refrigerated display cases and can even withstand temperatures down to 0 degrees Fahrenheit. And the big one for businesses, it's generally more affordable than polypropylene.
Wow, clarity, strength, cold resistance, and it's cheaper. PET sounds unbeatable. Every fighter has a weakness, though. What's PET's kryptonite?
Heat. Simple as that. PET will warp and melt dramatically under heat lamps, in a microwave, or if you put hot food directly into it. It's strictly for cold or room temperature application.
Ah, so that's where our chicken marsala tragedy comes from. That restaurant used a PET container for a hot dish.
Almost certainly. A classic and costly mistake.
All right, that makes sense. So let's bring in our other contender, the one built for battle. Tell us about polypropylene, or PP. What makes it the heat-resistant heavyweight?
PP is the workhorse of the takeout world. Its primary strength is its high melting point. It maintains its structural integrity at elevated temperatures, which is invaluable for restaurants packaging hot foods for takeout or delivery.
And the big one, it can face the microwave, right? I think I've personally melted a container or two by not checking the bottom for that little symbol.
Many of us have. Yes, PP is microwave safe, which is a huge factor for customer convenience. It means they can reheat their leftovers safely without creating a molten plastic disaster in their kitchen. That feature alone makes it the only real choice for most restaurant meals.
The hero of leftovers everywhere. I heard it has other skills too. Something about chemical resistance?
It does. PP is resistant to many chemicals, acids, and bases. This makes it ideal for products with specific preservation requirements. Yogurt manufacturers, for example, rely on it because it doesn't interact with active cultures. It ensures the packaging remains inert, maintaining the food's safety and quality.
Okay, so if PP is so tough and versatile, why isn't everything just made of PP? Why bother with PET at all?
It comes back to those trade-offs. First, as we mentioned, PP is more expensive. For high-volume items that don't need heat resistance, that cost difference adds up. Second, it doesn't have the crystal clarity of PET. It's more translucent, sometimes a bit hazy. So for visual appeal, PET always wins.
It really clarifies how it's not about one being better, but about using the right tool for the job. You wouldn't use a hammer to turn a screw.
Precisely. And business owners need to see that slightly higher cost for PP, not as an expense, but as an investment in customer satisfaction and brand protection. One bad experience can cost you far more than the few extra cents per container.
That's a powerful way to look at it. You have to think beyond the shelf. Conrad, any final words of wisdom for our listeners trying to make these big packaging decisions?
My best advice is to consider the entire journey of your food, from your kitchen, to storage, to transport, to how it's displayed, and finally, to how your customer will eat it. The right package serves and protects your product and your reputation at every single step.
Protecting your product and your reputation. I love it. Conrad, this has been incredibly insightful. Thank you so much for breaking this down and making the world of polymers so much fun and easy to understand.
It was my pleasure, Alec. Anytime.
So there you have it, folks. The final bell has rung. And the battle of the plastics, there's no single winner, only the right champion for the right fight. PET for when it's cold and needs to be clear. PP for when things get hot and hearty. And now, you're armed with the knowledge to avoid your own chicken marsala catastrophe.